Hi, everyone, and welcome to our April 2023 podcast. Today, we are talking with teen staff. So I am Erin, a teen librarian here at the Clint Macomb Public Library, and I am joined by Colleen and Ray, and I'll have them introduce themselves. Colleen, you want to say hello?
Hello, I'm Colleen. I am one of the other teen staff here at CMPL, and I'm super excited.
And Ray?
So, yeah. Hi, everybody. So my name is Ray. I am now the teen outreach librarian here. So I'm the one that gets to go into all the middle schools and the high schools and talk to the classes and the masses and all that good stuff.
Masses of classes.
Yeah.
So we decided it's been a while since we talked about some teen things going on. We're going to talk about some recommendations of things that we've read that we've really enjoyed, some things that are going to be coming up that we're looking forward to their release, and then also some programs that we're looking forward to. So Colleen, do you want to get us started with what's your recommendation of something that you've read that you've really enjoyed?
Okay, so I accidentally came up with a theme today for my recommendations. It was fully unintentional, and I was writing out notes, and I was like, uh-oh, or bonus. I don't know. We'll see. But so my past title recommendation, it's not an older book or anything, but it is a book that I read a little while ago, and I was just rereading it again, and it is The Girl from the Sea by Molly Knox Ostertag. So it is a graphic novel. It is about a girl named Morgan who is living with her mom and her younger brother on an island and dealing with some familial problems. And of course, all the other problems that, you know, we all go through as teens, trying to find herself and everything. And so she's been having a stressful go of it. And she goes for a walk on the beach one day to clear her head. And she has a little accident. And she is, spoiler alert, but not too big of a spoiler, she's saved by somebody. And then she ends up making a new friend who kind of helps her find herself. I don't know. I don't want to give too many. It's hard to, when
it's
you're
a hard one. That one's a hard one.
So, but it's, I love the art in it. It's just super, super cute. I also really like the humor in it. The one character, well, actually Morgan is, she just cracks me up because people will say something and she'll be like, yeah, no. Just like, I just love her humor. But I don't know if she thinks she's funny, but she is. And I was just recently rereading it and a teen at our anime club saw that I had it and was like, oh my God, I love that book. It's so good. So it comes highly recommended from one of our teens as well. But I definitely recommend reading it. We've got it in regular print, we've got the ebook version and all of that good stuff. So
I love that graphic novel, and it was a hot read 2 summers ago.
That's
in 2021.
Right. Yeah.
So I believe we do have copies at all 3 locations.
We do. I think it was an ALA great graphic novel too.
Yes, yeah. I believe so. Really just anything Molly Ostertag does.
Oh, I know.
They're working on another graphic novel right now, but it's being released as a webcomic first. So that's on her blog. I'd have to look up exactly where, but I get it in my emails, like every little quarter chapter at a time. So
they did Witch Boy too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
that series
such a good
series. Of graphic novels.
Yeah, the Witch Boy series. And they also wrote in This Is Our Rainbow. They had a short story in there. And they also wrote I forgot the exact title of it, but the Roll Call graphic novel, the Dungeons and Dragons one that just came out.
Oh, yeah.
They wrote that, but didn't illustrate it, which was interesting considering that they are an illustrator.
Right.
I thought it was interesting that they tag team. I mean, the illustrations are still amazing.
It is a slightly different style, though.
I could see
having a different, like, Molly's got a really kind of, I was going to say soft, cute style.
Yeah.
Which maybe doesn't lend itself to
kind
D&D.
Of very similar to her spouse, who is also a very popular writer. So yeah, those two together, they're pretty good. I'm surprised they haven't written anything together yet. I was just thinking about that like there must be a reason why they keep their work so separate, because they're both great storytellers. They're both great artists, but they haven't written anything together yet. And that kind of surprised me for how long they've been together versus, you know, not forever, but, you know, since She-Ra started. So 2014, Yeah, 2015. So I'm
interesting.
surprised they haven't written it. Maybe one day.
I think if they did a project together, every like both their fans would like go crazy about it.
Yeah.
Oh, for
It
would be an instant success, so
Yeah,
they
I
should totally
agree.
do it.
Yeah.
Maybe they've got like a giant project in the works and they're just gonna spring it on us one day and we're all gonna lose our minds.
I hope so.
Ray, what's your recommendation that you
Well,
want to
I
share?
was having a hard time thinking of one, and then something that did come to my mind that I know I'm excited about is it's a little bit ways away, but on Friday, April 14th, the author V.E. Schwab is coming to the Ann Arbor District Library for a reading. And although they're not doing a live book signing, unfortunately, they're expecting the lines are going to be too long. So you can pre-order a signed copy of the paperback of The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue, which is going to be my book recommendation. It is technically an adult book, but it very much reads in the young adult realm. The main character is certainly very, very young as far as adult age goes. But it's one of those novels where you don't know how the author really like came up fully with the idea, but also how it manages to fit a full book. I don't want to give anything away, but it's basically about our main character, Addie LaRue, who is essentially invisible. Like no one can really see or talk to her or hear her. And so it's just about her. Other things happen, but I don't want to give things away, but it's kind of about her walking through this invisible life that she leads. And it's very, V.E. Schwab is just such a good storyteller, that it's amazing at what little, like what she can do with such a, what seems like a small concept. But really, anything by her, just as an author in general. She's written for all age groups. We've got teen stuff, we have middle grade stuff. I don't think she's written anything quite younger than that. I'm thinking, you know, Bridge of Ghosts is probably as young as it gets, which is maybe a little younger than middle grade, but I would think it's more middle grade than anything. So really, anything by her. But it her book signing coming up has made me want to revisit The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue.
So I was just looking up like some info on it because the title sounded vaguely familiar, but I couldn't quite place it. I haven't read it, but I think I've heard about it.
You probably did when it first came out. It would have
Yeah.
been running in like a lot of your circles, I feel
There's
like.
a lot of buzz about it when
It
it went
sounds really
out.
interesting. I'm also not going to give anything away, but it is historical and it takes place, it's fantasy, but it takes place in like 1700s France.
It's
Interesting.
very cool. It's also just a very different concept than what she typically writes. So,
Huh, very
yeah.
cool. I'm going to put it on my to-read list, the ever-long to-read list.
All right, my recommendation is Man-Made Monsters by Andrea L. Rogers. So I've been on a kick of reading a lot more Indigenous authors lately, and she is Cherokee, and she wrote this. I was intrigued because it's a collection of horror short stories.
Ooh.
And when I became an adult, I actually started liking short stories a lot more. As a teen, I don't know, I didn't get really into them, but now I really appreciate like collections of short stories. And horror, like, obviously, like, grabbed my attention. So I was like, this is interesting. It's going to be by a native author, and it's so I wonder how they're going to incorporate like their heritage into the stories, which they completely do. It's amazing. So it's actually there's like werewolves and vampires and zombies, and I actually remember telling Colleen that like you cannot actually eat anything listening or reading the first story. I listened to the audiobook and it was very creepy. I was getting especially the first one was very graphic about what the vampire was doing and like how he was like murdering the family. So
Oh God.
I was like, okay, yeah, if I had eaten, I would be very sick right now. So what's cool about it too is that it starts off really early in like the 1700s and then it goes up through today. So then it has like historical stories and then modern day stories. And it kind of follows like a family, like a hair like the line of heritage throughout. And some are more creepy than others, but there's definitely like Cherokee folklore throughout, which is very cool. And if you're familiar with Native folklore, there's a lot of things that you might recognize, like they talk about like the wolf a lot and the fox and things like that. but it's very cool. And the other thing, it's funny because sometimes you'll remember, like I distinctly really remember two stories, the first one, but then there's one towards the end that I think it's the last one or second to last one, which is about this, this is gonna sound nuts, but it's an alien that lives in a swimming pool. And I was kind of thinking about that this looked like a whale, like an alien whale. And it lived in this saltwater swimming pool, and it saved this girl's sister. And so they decided that they, because it rescued her sister from drowning, that the family was going to rescue this like invisible whale, alien whale, and take it to the coast. So I don't know why I was so intrigued by that story, but like it's just stayed with me. So I like that no matter what you read, you probably different people will take different things away from it. So I was a big fan of that.
So I'm a big horror fan, and I love all the classic like horror creatures or whatever. And so Erin and I were talking about this, and she was like, "I don't know, man. Even for me, it was a little creepy." And I was like, "Excellent, sign me up." So I'm excited to read this one, and it's brand new
Indigenous,
too.
yeah,
Well,
I think
relatively brand new.
relatively, yeah, Indigenous horror is like something else. I don't know who or what, but like, oh my gosh.
Well, I love the folklore. Like, I love just hearing and learning about different cultures' folklore because it is like folklore just as a theme, I guess, just of storytelling is so like rich because it's the whole point of it is to retell it and like it gets a little bit of this added in and a little bit of that added in. So like it just becomes this like incredibly like deep, interesting story, you know, as it gets told over and over again. So I'm always really excited to read a new one.
Yeah. I just always remember the story of the Wendigos, and that's all I need to know.
Well, I'm looking up this one too, and it says that it mentions the Deer Woman, which is a really interesting tale that I've heard before. So I'm excited to read about
Yeah.
this.
We have a, I think Wendigo Island is in Michigan. It's off the coast of the UP. Why we named it Wendigo Island, I those of you who don't know what a Wendigo is, just Google it. It'll be great. You'll love it, I
So
promise.
now
I
I'm
don't promise.
curious, Aaron, is there an island tale or tales of an island mentioned at all in your?
That's a good question. I can't distinctly remember. I kind of want to mention though that if you are looking for more Indigenous works, I actually got to interview 2 years ago Darcy Little Badger, and she is fantastic. She wrote Alatsoe, which that is really cool because it's like mystery, paranormal, supernatural Indigenous teen book. And then her second work is A Snake Falls to Earth, and that is Indigenous short stories. And I saw some of like the they really anthropomorphize animals a lot of times, which is really fascinating to me. So I like listening to that. Like I was listening to the audiobook. But there's so much that have come out, and there's so much in graphic novel too.
Yeah, I don't want to hijack the conversation, but I feel like the segue has to happen. My upcoming title is also by an Indigenous author about an island. So I think there's a theme today, my friends, not just with me. So my upcoming title that I'm really excited about is by Angeline Bouley, and it is Warrior Girl Unearthed. And I can't wait. I cannot wait. I took a really long time to read Fire Keeper's Daughter. I was just super behind on it, just busy, whatever. And then I devoured it, and it was so good. But I also like it, not just like Indigenous stories and folktale and stuff like that, but like I love stories that take place in places that I'm familiar with too. And I feel like that is probably something everybody has, but this is another story, just like Firekeeper's Daughter, that takes place in Michigan, in the Northern Peninsula. So the Northern Peninsula, Upper Peninsula, Northern Michigan. I don't know what just happened there. I've lived here all my life. Anyway, so it takes place on Sugar Island, and it is about Perry Firekeeper Birch, who is an Indigenous teen from the Anishinaabe tribe, and they're. In the story, it talks about there are many Indigenous women going missing, and Everybody is kind of trying to figure out what's going on, and somehow Perry's family gets involved in a murder investigation. But Perry is like, I don't know about what all this is, but I feel like it's not on the up and up. And so she kind of goes to try and figure out what is actually happening. And I don't know what is going to happen because I haven't read it yet. It's not out yet, but I am super, super excited because Fire Keeper's Daughter was super good. And I mean, I'll be really disappointed if it's not as good, but I feel like Angeline is like
Funny story about
aces.
Colleen reading Firekeeper's Daughter
Hey, listen.
is that her mother told me that she recommended it to her several times, and she felt like because she had recommended it to her so much that Colleen didn't want to read it. And so that she asked me to like tell her that it was really good too, so that she might be more interested in reading it.
Okay, but my mom has a history of being like, my mother is also a librarian, and so did a lot of book recommendations when I was younger and growing up and everything. And I feel like she's always like kind of gotten what I like, and then just sort of like is almost there and then goes, and like kind of takes a left turn and doesn't quite hit it. So sometimes I take what she recommends with a grain of salt. But don't tell her I said that.
It's
But no,
not
she
like
was
it'll be
spot
on an
on.
available podcast that she could
Oh
access
yeah,
and listen
it's not like I recorded this for the public to hear.
to.
Oops.
Right.
No,
I've
it was
decided that is definitely going to be a summer hot read, so we'll have
good.
lots of copies for people to check out.
I will fight someone for one if I need to. I'm just kidding. How
So,
about
Ray,
you
what
guys? What are you
title
guys
are you looking
excited
forward
about?
to?
What, me? Yeah, I guess
Yeah.
that makes sense. So I was actually just in a classroom this morning, and we ended up on a tangent talking about this book because they just finished reading the first Percy Jackson book in their sixth grade class. And so the book I am most excited about coming up, I believe May 3rd. It's the first week of May, if it's not the third,
I think it's the
which
second is the release
is
date
the
for.
second. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, the second sounds right. Is The Sun and the Star, which is the next book in the Percy Jackson series. So for those of you who don't know, because the class today did not, so we ended up on a whole tangent talking about Percy Jackson. But there's the first five Percy Jackson books, and those are the first series. And there's a second series that has another five books, and that's the Heroes of Olympus. And then there's another series that's got another five books, and that's the Trials of Apollo. And so this book takes place just after the end of Trials of Apollo. So unfortunately, if you aren't caught up in the long, long, long 15 book series, although I promise they read so much smoother. Like if you're looking at the 15 books and you're like, dear Lord, they go down easy. They go down smooth. But the next book in that series is coming out in just about a month, and it's a book that I have been anticipating since it's a really, I mean, before its announcement. Like it's one of those things where the book was announced, but even before it was announced, we kind of got like a little sprinkle that it was coming at the end of the last book in the Trials of Apollo series. And since that moment, I was convinced it was coming, even though it didn't get announced until about a year and a half later. But I was so certain that I've been looking forward to it since that moment that I read that book. So it's been about what, 3 years now? I think that was, yeah, in 2020. So
That's the worst, too.
yeah. I just, well, they just, they like, I don't want to spoil anything for anyone who's gonna read it, but they kind of, it was basically like the narrator saw something happening over a ways, and he just goes, I'll let them take care of that. And I was like,
3 years
okay, so are they
later.
gonna take care of that? And they are. So that comes out soon. It is written by co-written actually for the first time in the Percy Jackson series by Rick Riordan, who's the original author, and then also Mark Oshiro, who has written for both YA and for middle grade. He's a fantastic author and such a nice guy. And so they pulled him on for reasons that I don't want to disclose because I don't want to give anything away for those of you who are reading the Percy Jackson
Spoiler.
series. But there is a reason why Mark was kind of pulled in. And so I'm really excited to see this story told. So for those of you who do know the series, it follows the story of Nico D'Angelo post the Trials of Apollo. So maybe the hinty hint is that Nico gets his own quest, and we get to jump back into that world, and I'm so excited for it.
I
That's
mean,
awesome.
that whole series, I feel like the fans are rabid. And like
Yes,
rightfully
true.
so.
Right. I got to tell the class today that when the first Percy Jackson book came out, The Lightning Thief, and this is really going to age me. So everyone else who's here who's still sees me as a baby, hang on tight. But the first Percy Jackson book, The Lightning Thief, came out when I was 10. So I was the target demographic for that book when it first came out. I mean, I was the person they were trying that you know, Rick was really writing to. So I was a huge Percy Jackson fan, and read the first five books. And then I kind of aged out of it before he had written Heroes of Olympus. So when I kind of came back into, you know, graduated undergrad, came back into book world, I went, there's more. And so I actually read those as an adult. And it honestly, it doesn't feel like I'm reading middle grade. Like, it's just, it's an awesome adventure with awesome characters. And he's just such a good storyteller.
Yeah.
How about you, Erin? Yeah, what are you excited about? I feel like Erin's got her finger on the pulse of all the books.
I am super pumped about this. I ran into this last week when I was looking at titles that for potential hot reads for the summer, and this is going to be one. It's a graphic novel. It's called North Ranger, and I'm actually just going to read you the description because this is what caught my attention. So, in this swoony and spooky teen summer romance graphic novel set on a Texas ranch, 16-year-old Cade Muniz finds himself falling for the ranch owner's mysterious and handsome son, only to discover that he may be harboring a dangerous secret. Cade has always loved to escape into the world of good horror movie. After all, horror movies are scary, but to Cade, a closeted queer Latino teen, growing up in rural Texas, real life can be way scarier. When Cade is set to spend the summer working at a ranch hand to help earn extra money for his family, he is horrified. Cade hates everything about the ranch, from the early mornings to the mountains of horse poop he has to clean up. Dude, the only silver lining is the company of the two teens who live there, in particular, the ruggedly handsome and enigmatic Henry. But as unexpected sparks begin to fly between Cade and Henry, things get complicated. Henry is reluctant to share the details of his mother's death, and Cade begins to wonder what else he might be hiding. Inspired by the gothic romance of Jane Austen's Northanger Abbey, it's perfect for fans of Heartstopper and Bloom. So I'm super pumped about this. This sounds amazing.
I'm a fan of Heartstopper and Bloom.
I was just going to say, hang on, I think I know someone.
Ooh, I love retellings. And they really made a comeback recently.
Same. I love a good, like, one of my favorite things is, like, finding traditional fairy tales and folktale and being like, let's redo it. And just the weird ways that you can redo stuff. I love it.
I feel like we've gotten a few Jane Austen retellings recently. Mm-hmm. And okay, Erin, you got me. So
let me tell you, that description took me on a ride.
I'll just put holes on it for all three of us.
Please do. Oh, awesome, man, though. I'm excited for some of the stuff coming out. I mean, I feel like summer is the best time for upcoming stuff. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, Colleen, do you want to tell us? Because actually, I think I'm not sure what Ray's going to share, but I know yours is coming up pretty soon, the program that you're looking forward to.
Yes. When you guys were talking about the release of, I think, Ray's book, I feel like this is going to be a good week for everyone because it's also Free Comic Book Day and May the 4th and like all the good stuff. It happens the first week of May, I think. So I'm really excited for, of course, May the 4th. Like if anybody does May the 4th programs, like sign me up. I'm there. I love Star Wars, whatever. and we are doing that, but I think it's mostly geared towards kiddos. So, but if you want to come be like a total nerd with us, we'll be here. But I'm really excited to do Free Comic Book Day as well. So we are doing that here at CMPL at the main library on Saturday, May 6th. And it's going to be pretty laid back. It's not going to be like a super structured program, but it's just going to be like, come stop in, get some free comics, do some like comic work shopping of like characters or whatever. We've got a bunch of crafts and stuff like that. So I'm really excited for that because I have partnered with a really cool comic shop local to us. It is Comics Corner in Fraser, and the owner there is super awesome and he's got a bunch of really great stuff for us. So they are gonna help us get some free comics out to the masses. And you have to be here to get them. So you got to stop in. But we also, of course, have so many good comics here at CMPL that you can check out. And I just ordered a whole bunch of really good comics that I'm hoping will be in by Free Comic Book Day. You can't take them home forever. I mean, I guess you could, but they're not free then. But no, we've got lots of really good stuff here to read and return. And then you can go home with your free stuff. So
Yeah, and
Always a good time.
there's some good stuff on the docket this year too. I know there's one of the comics is an excerpt from the new Dogman book. So if you've got youngins that you want to tag along with you, but we got some other popular titles too that kind of give you a little preview of some of the stuff that's coming out. So.
I mean, the three of us were looking at a list, and I feel like we were all like, well, this one, but also this one, and also this one. And by the end of it, we were like, okay, so there's like nothing
Three.
we don't
Yeah.
want. Now, I don't want to make any promises about what will be available when, because it is a giveaway. So, you know, it just
First come,
depends on who
first serve.
gets, you know, first come, first serve. Exactly. So, no promises, but there are some really great titles on the docket this year. So, definitely stop by if you can, and definitely support your local comic shop if you can't come see us. Or if, in addition, why not both? How about you guys? What are you guys looking forward to?
What you got
Don't all
coming up?
jump at once.
Well, okay, I can talk about my resin programs. It's one of my most popular programs here at the library. So I do it frequently, but we do different projects each time. So the next one that's coming up is April 22nd, which is on Earth Day. So I figured I was a little cheesy, and I was like, come make a slice of the Earth on Earth Day, because we are making resin geode coasters. They look so cool. I was amazed the first time we did this a couple years ago at the different creations that people have made. They literally did look like sliced geodes. And they fill up really fast. There's only slots for 30 people, so you want to register. It opens 2 weeks in advance, so registration will open on the 8th. And then this summer we have some resin programs coming up, starting in well, May. We kind of consider May part of summer planning for programs. So resin bookmarks at North on May 8th, and then I'm doing that again, the program again on June 5th at South. And then in the summer, I'm really excited about this. They came out, my samples came out beautifully. We are going to be making resin succulents on July 26th at South. So look forward to those because the summer newsletter will be out before you know it. And Ray, what are you excited about?
Yeah, so I do far, 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 far less programs than Erin Colleen. So I don't have too much coming up. In fact, I don't think I have anything at all until the summer. But I know this year for the summer, what I'm really excited about is we're partnering a little bit with Macomb Parks and Rec. So we're going to do a couple of things with them over at the rec center. So keep your eye out on the rec center's registration because they're going to be the ones that are hosting those activities. So I'm excited to kind of get involved and get some outdoor time into the summer. So keep an eye out at the rec center for some partnerships and some programs. We've got some paint and pour programs that we're going to be doing. Not the paint along, but literally paint and pour, or rather pour and paint, I guess would be the better reverse of that. And then also towards the end of summer, we're going to be doing a teen takeover at the rec center. So if you want some after hours time to use some of the recreation equipment and some of the sports and other fun stuff there, we'll be doing that as well. So I'm pretty excited for that partnership this summer. Even if we don't do as much this summer as we might want, I think that there's going to be a lot of really cool stuff to come out of it. So
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I hope this becomes like a continued collaboration. And they really sounded excited about partnering with the library, so sounds
Yes.
amazing.
It always like kind of is a little funny to me because I always think of like Parks and Recreation and how like the TV show and how separate the you know how like the library and Parks and Rec are so separate to like the point where it's like it's this humorous thing, right? And in reality, I'm watching the show and I was like, all right, it's all in good fun. It's comedy, so it's fine. But what if, and hear me out, you actually just like did stuff together. And so I'm really excited to maybe break down those satirical walls a little bit and get some library stuff outside.
Absolutely. All right. I'm really looking forward to that. All right. So I think that's it for us today. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.